Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Unity Center of Light, another service from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We always like to remind you about Zoom, that we have a Zoom fellowship right after Pamela and I do our message and meditation, and we look forward to you joining us in that if you have not yet done so. And you can find the link to that Zoom fellowship service in the e-newsletter or the weekly update. So please join us if you have not been with us before. And we're going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now we'll affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. Now we'll have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, June the 6th. The key word is healing, and the affirmation is, my thoughts, words, and actions affirm divine life. Today, I give thanks for the constant activity of divine healing life, especially when my body is experiencing illness. To bolster my awareness of my capacity for healing, I place my attention on my inherent wholeness. I affirm life in my thoughts, my words, my actions as I care for my body and meet its needs. My faith assures me that illness is not the truth of me, nor is it my enduring reality. Through my actions, I am affirming wholeness as my true nature and encouraging my healing. Even when I am not facing illness, I greet each day by blessing my body, affirming my wholeness and the ongoing activity of divine life in every organ, in every cell. I give thanks for the gift of divine life by giving thanks for my healing and living joyously. And the scripture is Luke 8:48, and it reads, he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Amen. Now we will have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, honey. So you probably have noticed the title for today, Shipwrecked on Malta. And that, I actually got that idea from watching a video of a discussion with some very well-known church consultants. And they brought up this idea of shipwrecked on Malta, meaning that the ship that churches have been traveling in is being wrecked because of what has happened to the pandemic and the whole change in the dynamics of how church may be done post-pandemic. And actually, they mentioned, this is just a little aside, they mentioned that this whole pandemic has really pushed us 20 years into the future, meaning because we had to develop so much technology in order to be able to do things virtually. But anyway, this shipwreck on Malta is a biblical story in Acts 27 and 28 of Paul's journey to Rome, where he was to stand, be tried by under Caesar. And as a passenger, Paul was handed over to Julius the centurion, who, if you read the whole chapter, you'll find out that he really liked Paul, you know, and wanted to kind of take care of him. But together with other prisoners and passengers and soldiers, they all, you know, set sail. There was 276 on the ship altogether. So we're going to read through some of the chapter to get a sense of how the storm in this story relates to the storm we've been going through in the past year and a half now, I guess, you know, both pandemic related and as well as whatever personal storm you may have been going through or still may be going through, all right? Now, this reading is going to be longer than normal. It's three slides, all right? And the reason why is typically, you know, when we take a verse out of, and I did remove some of the verses from this. I think in that chapter there's verses 1 through 42 or 44. I don't remember exactly what it was. But I removed some of the verses that really got into the description of how bad the storm was, all right? But oftentimes, the reason why I want to read so much of it is oftentimes when we read Bible verses, they're usually taken out of context from the full story. And actually, if we could hear the whole story, it might help us to better understand how the Bible verse relates in our lives. Okay, so here we go. We're going to read, starting with Acts 27, 18 through 20. All right. So it says, we took such violent battering from the storm that the next day we began to throw the cargo overboard. And this is important. And on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, the key here about the tackle, I looked that up, and it says tackle could be anything on a ship, including the furniture, your luggage, it could be everything. In other words, they were desperate. They were throwing everything overboard, and with our own hands means everybody was involved. Okay. It says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. All right? Go ahead, sweetie. Yeah. So it says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them. Now remember, Paul was a prisoner on the ship, and there were prisoners, passengers, and soldiers. But Paul stood up before them and said, I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. And he said, last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. That's also an important verse we're going to interpret. So Paul said to those on board, keep up your courage, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. Okay. Now, it says, when daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Okay, and again, if you read the whole chapter, you'll see all the things they had to go through in order to try to make that happen. Now, the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But again, here's the centurion, Julius. He wanted to spare Paul. You know, and he was the head of the soldiers, all right? But he did not want Paul's life to be taken. So he kept the soldiers from carrying out their plan. And Julius ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to the land. The rest were to get there on planks or other pieces of the ship. So in other words, the ship was being shattered. In this way, everyone reached land safely. And once safely on shore, they found that they were on the island called Malta. Okay. So, for the purpose of this lesson, the ship they set sail on represents the way of life we knew before the pandemic. It also represents the organizational structures that we were used to and relied on to provide the various needs and services that we require. You know, we saw the whole school system change. You're going to hear more about how churches are looking, how they have to change. You know, institutions are doing things in ways they haven't done before. Even the whole medical thing now of getting a medical exam, a lot of it can be done virtually because of, like I said, we were projected, 20 years into the future, coming up with technology we may not have, come up with if it was not for this pandemic. But in many cases, these ships that we're looking at, they didn't survive, did not survive the pandemic, right? But nevertheless, many are trying to hold on to the pieces of the old ship, the old way, trying desperately to make it to shore, not really knowing where that shore is. Okay. Now, as I mentioned last week, church consultants are predicting that the old way of church that has been around for the past 500 years will not survive the pandemic, that a new order of church must evolve. Even though that is still being determined through experimentation, okay? I sit in on a minister's meeting every Thursday, and as we're talking about experimenting with ways of what is the new church going to look like. Because you got to understand, when we're doing church during the pandemic, a lot of it was done virtual, so we were able to serve people who were not in our area, people who had been part of the church and moved out, or people who joined us. Okay, so this, you're going to have to be able to take that into consideration when you talk about how do we get, you know, go back to church, so to speak. And, you know, even though we were eager, you know, to get out and get back, you know, a lot of times, oh, I'm eager to get out and get back, there's still been many things we've become used to and enjoy doing virtually, and church is one of them, right? So at this point, nothing is certain, even though it appears that things are trying to go back to the way they were. As someone recently expressed in a session that I was in, says we are desperate for certainty, but all we really have is evolution, right? Things will change, and chaos is our introduction to change. And that's a powerful thought. And in this, you know, past year, chaos created change for everyone, in spite of our resistance to change. In the opening chapter, you know, verse 19, we read, on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Now, I went to the Eliot's commentary, and it explains this verse demonstrates that the danger was so great that the prisoners, passengers, and soldiers all worked together to try to save the ship. Okay? Now, as I mentioned in last week's lesson, with exceptions, right, we saw many wonderful, yeah, there have been some exceptions, but we saw many wonderful demonstrations of people working together to help people through the pandemic. Economically, emotionally, the ship we were accustomed to was crashing, right? And it required selfless sacrifice to get as many as possible through the storm. And we saw that. And I said with exception because, yeah, we saw a whole lot of other things going on too that we were struggling with. But, you know, yes, we have to acknowledge that. But yes, let's also acknowledge how people were out there helping people. But still, for many in this country and around the world, verse 20 was a reality. It said, neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging. We finally gave up all hope of being saved. But then Paul stepped in and expressed, and this is a repeat of what I just said. He said, but now I urge you to keep up your courage. All right, let me just bring that up so you can see it. Now I urge you to keep up your courage, right? Because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. He said, last night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me and said, all right, do not be afraid. You must stand trial before Caesar. We're going to talk about what that means. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So Paul said to them, keep up your courage, for I have faith in God that it will happen as he told me. Okay, so this is a real powerful verse for every one of us, you know, because Paul received the divine message that all who sailed with him would survive and that he would stand trial before Caesar. Okay, now, we know that there were other prisoners on the ship who would stand trial before Caesar as well, okay? But the angel only spoke to Paul, all right? He only talked about him standing trial before Caesar. And again, this is the thing where if you don't really get into a scripture, you don't fully understand what it's trying to tell you, okay? But the reason why it was only said to Paul is because, as we have learned, you know, from reading scripture before, all who were on that ship were part of Paul's journey, part of his consciousness, prisoners, passengers, and soldiers. So it was Paul that would survive the storm with all the aspects of his human consciousness intact so that he could stand trial before Caesar. Okay. Now, to help us understand this, this is the way the metaphysical Bible explains it. It says Caesar represents the personal self-ruling through reason and will. Okay, so I'm kind of jumping ahead, but Caesar's like the ego. Okay, the personal self-ruling through reason and will. But this reason and will has not yet been modified, here's what's important, by spiritual love, mercy, and justice. The Caesar aspect of each of us can be thought of as mindless, okay, as we talked about last week, and to review that idea of mindless. Mindlessness is a mental state categorized by an over-reliance on categories and distinctions drawn in the past, and in which the individual is context-dependent and, as such, is oblivious to alternative ways of living and being. Okay, so and again, if you were here last week, you heard me give that definition. So Caesar is symbolic of seeing things from a narrow perspective. Okay, and that's the thing with us. No matter how many degrees we have, we typically are operating from our intellect, and the intellect is very narrow. Remember, we said that the intellect is not the office of wisdom; that the intellect receives wisdom from God. Okay, it receives wisdom from the way it shows up in the world. All right. So Caesar is symbolic of seeing things from this very narrow perspective, whereas Paul was considered a person of faith, one who represents the word of the Spirit of truth. Okay, let me say that again. So Paul is considered the person of faith, one who represents the word of the Spirit of truth. And according to the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, by the power of the word, Paul represents the most active form of spiritual thought established throughout our consciousness. Okay, now this is important. So this is why the power of his word had such a great impact on the other prisoners, passengers, and soldiers, even over the centurion in charge, who was Julius. Now think of this as being capable of calming the various thoughts in our minds with words from the Spirit of truth, such as peace be still. Okay. So when all these activities within you are out of harmony, think about the Paul, the word of the Spirit of truth. Okay. And so all that we have to do is be able to say something like peace be still, or whatever it is that you use. I know many of you have your own mechanism, your own spiritual truth, your own words of truth that you use. So as we feel our ship, our personal life, being tossed about by the changing tides in our life, it is our Paul, our person of faith, that gives comfort and courage to all within us, which includes our prisoners, those aspects of our being that keep us fearfully locked up in a certain mindset. You know what I'm talking about? So our prisoners are those aspects of our being that keep us fearfully locked up in a certain mindset. Our soldiers are those aspects of our being that make us want to fight against people and things that we believe are somehow against us or oppose us or whatever. And our passengers are those thoughts that are seemingly just along for the ride. Okay, you know, these thoughts we just have, they're just normal thoughts we always have. This thing out there along for the ride, but still have a significant impact on shaping our personality. Okay, so Paul, the symbol of faith within us, has to stand trial before Caesar. And let me repeat again. Caesar represents the personal self that rules through reason and will, but without the benefit of spiritual love, mercy, and justice. And to be clear, Caesar is our personal ego that uses reason and personal will to judge and categorize what we are experiencing as being either good or not good, but is making these judgments without the benefit of spiritual love, mercy, and justice. Okay. So each of us, as we go about our everyday lives, will have to take moments when we need to put ourselves on trial before Caesar. All right, let me say that again. Each of us, as we go about our everyday lives, will have moments when we need to put ourselves on trial before Caesar to see if we are truly expressing the spiritual love, mercy, and justice that we say we believe. Okay, and when we do it, it will be Paul, the aspect of faith in each one of us, that will give you the courage to hear what you need to hear and do what you need to do to bring peace and harmony into your whole being, even as your ship is going through a storm. Okay? So that means pulling all of the prisoners and passengers and soldiers in your consciousness into a state of harmony. All right? And this is what it says in James 1, 2 through 3. It says, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Right? And you've heard me say before that Joel, is it Goldsmith?
Joel Goldsmith.
Goldsmith, yeah. Has said that, you know, if nothing's going on in our lives, you know, those passenger thoughts just kind of keep us tripping through the universe, not really trying to grow one way or another, okay, in terms of spiritually. It's when stuff happens that, you know, we have to step up and really, you know, implement these spiritual principles that we've been using in order to get us through the storm. And if you're wondering, you know, how do I do that? How do I put myself on trial? Okay, you know the answer. You do it in your prayer and meditation time. You do it while you are contemplating the truth principles we are learning as they relate to what you are thinking and feeling. Let me say it again. Okay? So you do it while you're contemplating the truth principles we're learning as they relate to what you're thinking and feeling, asking sincerely, Blessed Spirit, what do I need to do to bring myself into alignment with you? Okay. And really, that's the answer. We always want an answer, remember, categorically. That was a mindlessness. You know, we want some category of answer that we can understand. But here we are just surrendering ourselves to Spirit. And as this prayer work, you know, as this prayer work is so important, it's because, as I've heard expressed in a recent discussion, there are some, now listen carefully, systemic thought processes. There are some systemic thought processes within each of us that consciously and unconsciously causes us to behave in ways that do not match what we are professing, okay? And one of the greatest and probably most systemic anomalies that we are not totally conscious of is this idea of us and them, or me and them, all right? This perception built into the many areas of our lives, and it does not support the faith and love that we profess. And again, let me say, it's systemic. And we've used that word a lot in the past year to talk about racism, but we're talking about the very essence of our own being, not just in terms of racism, in terms of all aspects of life where we have this us and them or me and them mentality. That is what we want to become conscious of. And this is why we often, you know, need to put ourselves on trial to determine, why do I feel the way that I feel, and why do I think the way that I think? Okay? That's sort of putting yourself on trial, okay, in front of Caesar, so to speak. And it's imperative that we ask ourselves these questions with compassion and a true desire to hear and understand the answers that we receive from Spirit. Because if you're sincere in this process, you are going to get the answers, all right? So we read in this scripture, this is not about dumping overboard, listen carefully, the scripture is telling us it's not about dumping overboard the non-spiritual aspects of ourselves, all right? Like if you say with Paul, you know, they were going to shoot the passengers and throw them overboard, and Julius said no, all right? But it was because of his respect for Paul. Okay, so this is not about dumping overboard the non-spiritual aspects of ourselves. Everybody listening to that? Okay. All within us must be brought up to the level of the Christ within. All within us must make it to the shore, as it is said in Scripture. All within us must be brought up to the level of the Christ within. This is what's meant in John 3:14. The Son of Man must be lifted up to the Son of God. Okay, and it's explained in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. It says, in our individual consciousness, we must learn to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God. That is Luke 20:25. And let me just, you know, kind of let you settle in and think about that for a minute, because that is something you've heard me say before, but we're going to kind of get a different essence of it. So what it's relating to is the inner person, Caesar, I'm sorry, the outer person, thank you, Caesar, as well as the inner spirit, must be given proper attention and care. Each must have its share of the sustenance of life. We must stay in harmony with our unenlightened human aspects. until the spiritual aspect of our being grows wise enough, loving enough, and strong enough in our consciousness to take its rightful dominion throughout our entire being, right? And that's the deal. That's a very powerful thought, all right? So nothing within us is to be lost at sea. It all must be lifted up. And this is an awesome realization because, you know, I think we've been thinking and even talking about, even from me, talking about, you know, we got to get rid of these, you know, ego ideas. And this is saying all must be lifted up. And just like Paul, you know, we also are on a ship in the storm. Whether it's the pandemic or any of the numerous other storms that appear in our lives, okay, that are trying to wreck the ship that we're on. Now, I'm going to repeat an earlier quote. We are desperate for certainty. We are desperate for certainty. We're all asking, what is it going to be like after the pandemic, okay? But all we really have is evolution. Things must and will change. And chaos is our introduction to change. But this idea of render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's is explaining that as things are changing, it is our responsibility to take care of the passengers, prisoners, and soldiers on our ship. And again, I acknowledge that would be, you know, be reasonable to think, well, if these passengers, soldiers, and prisoners on my ship are interfering with my spiritual growth, all right, you would think to yourself that I should just kick them off the ship, right? But Paul was told by the angel of God, says, God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail on your ship, all right? So there's no kicking them off the ship. Why? Because as we read before, both the inner and the outer aspects of our soul must be given proper attention and care. It's almost like cleaning the, you must clean the inside of the cup as well as the outside of the cup as well as the inside of the cup, that verse, right? Each must have its share of the sustenance of life. And we must create a state of harmony with the unenlightened ego until the awareness of the spiritual aspects of our being grows wise enough, loving enough, and strong enough in our consciousness to take its rightful dominion throughout our entire being. And then all within us will be ready to move from the ruling of Caesar to the glory of God. You know, all within us will be ready to move from the ruling of Caesar, the ego, to the glory of God. And I know the thoughts in my mind, personally, the thoughts in my mind. I know my thoughts that are passengers. I know my thoughts that are prisoners, and I know my thoughts that are soldiers. These are the aspects of my personal self that I must give proper care and attention to. These are the unenlightened aspects of myself that I must stay mindful of and keep harmonious and in check. Okay, I think a lot of you know what I'm talking about. And I must do that until I grow spiritual enough, wise enough, loving enough, and strong enough in my consciousness to let the Christ in me take its rightful dominion throughout my entire being. That's what it looks like. Okay, that's what it's all about. So I ask you, do you know who your passengers, prisoners, and soldiers are? Are you ready to stand at the helm of your ship in the midst of the storm and bring all on board in your mind to a state of peaceful harmony with the help of Paul, the word of the Spirit of truth within you that has the faith and the courage to stand before Caesar? Now, I'm going to end with this reading from Science of Mind, Thursday, June 3rd. Okay? It says, when we resist change, it's called suffering. But when we can completely let go and not struggle against it, it's called enlightenment, all right? And you might want to write down the name of this individual. She is an American Tibetan Buddhist monk, a nun, rather, okay? And there's a lot of great writings out there by her. And the affirmation for this week to get us through the week is, I am safe. It is only change. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
And Unity family, let's now prepare for meditation. I invite you to relax, take a deep breath, and pause in this moment as you allow spirit to restore your natural balance. Breathe into this quiet moment. As you breathe in and out, give yourself the greatest gift of all time, to stop, breathe, and allow joy to bubble up within you right here and right now. Please allow the following words to become your own. In my quiet time, a realization of calm arises within me. The people, noise, and confusion that seemed right in my face have retreated. I feel such relief that I breathe easier. I relax and feel the tension in my arms and shoulders melt away. Now, as my body comes into balance, I make my way to the secret place of the Most High. I am at the threshold, and I remember to let go and to release anything that is not serving me before I may enter. After I enter, I take a seat and feel that I am home, a place where I may commune with Spirit and realize the answer to my prayers. This wondrous place exists in my consciousness, and I feel the love, the peace, the joy, and the faith that God has given me. Dear God, I am conscious of your presence. I recognize that your order is continuously supporting me. My responsibility is to be aware of the order that is here and to flow with it. What a wonderful surrender this is. I am giving up worry and stress and allowing myself to be immersed in your order and your peace. So now, Holy Spirit, with my heart wide open, in my time of quiet, I take this time to pray, receive answers to my prayers, and to continue to be still. Loving Spirit of God, I am thankful for answered prayers, guidance, and divine order. I am grateful for life abundant, gratitude for where I am and the road ahead. In the name of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ, we say Amen, and so it is. Slowly come back to your surroundings and remember that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you.
Thank you, Han. That was wonderful. This is the time we open our hearts to allow the wonderful abundance from Spirit that flows into our personal lives to flow into our spiritual home. And I ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your heart, in your mind, as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. Now you have light notes.
Just a couple of announcements. Next Sunday, June the 13th, the book club will meet at 1 p.m. to discuss the book by Eddie Gloud called Begin Again. The Zoom link is in your updates. Mark your calendars now for Sunday, June 20th at 10:30 a.m. We're having a special Father's Day event with Safi and Amma Chandra, and we ask that you invite all the father influences in your life to join you for this musical treat. The Zoom link is the same as the Sunday Fellowship for that day. And that's it for announcements.
All right. So we get ready to...
Bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together.
Right. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful. Now we're going to do our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Well, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. And we hope to see you in a Zoom session right after this. Otherwise, have a wonderful week. We will see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.